What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is presented by Baker. Supply today at bakeru.edu. The Chiefs off today. Everyone, though, did practice yesterday. That was the key thing. I know Mecole Hardman was limited in practice, but other than that, everybody was good to go. They're as healthy as you can possibly be in the NFL postseason.
Yeah, considering especially where they were, obviously some of the players they've lost for the season that you knew were lost for the season, it's a slightly different energy. But yeah, they're a healthy team. They're off today. This is like their version of Saturday. Obviously, they'll take on the Texans 2 days from now. Next up on What's Trending, local college hoops last night. Kansas lost to Iowa State 74-57 in Ames. It was a 10-point game at half. They had it down to 4 or 5 points in the second half, and then Iowa State went on another run, thus kind of ending that run. Kansas was, I think, a 6.5-point underdog in that game. It appears to be that way again. Kansas just doesn't look... They just look out of sorts. You know the truth? They just look out of sorts here in the early part of the season.
Next up on What's Trending, some sad news around sports. Brewers announcer Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. If everybody maybe views him in one way and versus another, like obviously he was a major league catcher.
No, he was a big league catcher.
He was a major league catcher, and then obviously Major League the movie, and then also one of the great voices in baseball, passing away at the age of 90. Bob Uecker, this is a statement from the MLBPA Association's executive director, Tony Clark. Said after 6 seasons as a major league catcher from 62 to 67, Bob Uecker found his life's true calling over more than half a century as a broadcaster, actor, goodwill ambassador, and the Brewers' beloved Mr. Baseball. The Players Association extends its condolences to Bob's family.
Genuinely, I mean, you don't say this like, it's not, he is a baseball icon.
No, no doubt.
He is one of the biggest names of baseball I knew growing up, and obviously will remain that forever. But yeah, really sad, Bob Uecker passing away at 90. Next up on What's Trending, the NFL and law enforcement have announced they will be increasing security for the Super Bowl-related events in New Orleans coming up about a month from now. This is not surprising, obviously, based on the events that just took place in New Orleans, that they would be looking for increased security. They're just trying to keep everyone safe at the Super Bowl. I understand why they're announcing that they're keeping increased security.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should be surprised with that. Lastly, NFL interview latest, some more names out there. Arthur Smith has interviewed with the Jets, and Kellen Moore has been requested to interview with the Dallas Cowboys. Remember, he was once the OC for Mike McCarthy in Dallas. Then he left the organization. He went to LA with the Chargers, and then he's in his first year with the Eagles. They improved that offense. Big reason why they improved that offense was Kellen Moore going over. I think 3 years ago was would be a head coach by now. He's getting an interview in Dallas. Jerry Jones reportedly really liked Kellen Moore, but chose, you know, Mike McCarthy to continue to coach and moved on from the coordinator, which wasn't going to work with McCarthy and Kellen Moore together. But I'll be a little surprised if Kellen Moore gets that job. But I know Jerry Jones at the time was a big fan of his.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be stunned by that, but also, I don't know. I don't know what Dallas should do necessarily. It might be good to just start with a young person who hasn't done a head coaching job before. That's just not traditionally the route that I feel like they go a lot of times. It feels like they go for stability. I can't believe how many jobs Arthur Smith is getting.
Well, interviews. I don't think he's going to get any of them.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't think
how many job interviews he's getting? He's interviewed like 5 different teams. He wasn't a good head coach the first time. And like what? Russell Wilson looked competent for like 9 weeks this season.
That's right.
And then we're just like calling it good? I don't get it, man. I wouldn't even like inspired offensive play. It was just like they weren't a laughing stock. I don't know. It's weird. I don't get it.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. All right, let's go out to the hotline and welcome in our Odyssey, one of our Odyssey insiders, of course, the Chiefs insider, former Chiefs wide receiver Dane Hughes. You're going to hear him on the call right here on 96.5 The Fan coming up Saturday, 3:30 kickoff. Mitch Holthus, Dane Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel, all on the call. Dane, it's good to have you on. He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. 2 days away, man. 2 days away from getting this thing really going on Saturday.
Yeah, how about that, man? It seems like it's taking forever to get here, but it's right around the corner. I'm excited. It's the opportunity of a lifetime, history-making run. We're well-rested. Like, I feel good about everything.
I know that externally it's easier to do this. Is it hard for – I know Andy Reid cares about it, and he tries really hard, and he's good at compartmentalizing. Is it hard as a coach, do you think, Danan, to convince these people not to think about the three-peat, not think about the AFC title game? Because the divisional round, by all intents, has been a second bye for Kansas City over the last 7 years. They win regularly. They win by a lot regularly. They've had a couple of tough games in there, including the 13-second game. But this has been a round that has traditionally been very favorable to Kansas City in the Mahomes era.
Well, I think you can accomplish two things. You can still think about the three-peat, but not overlook the Houston Texans. Like, I think both of those are achievable. And just because, I mean, you can't say from the podium in Vegas before you touch the trophy earlier this year, or last year, I should say, that we're going to go for three, we're going to go for history, and then all of a sudden turn the faucet off now. Like, I think you can have both. You can talk about the three-peat, you can recognize history, but you can also recognize that this is just one major step towards that. And it's not slighting the Texans. It's not taking anybody for granted. It's just knowing that this is a necessary step on the staircase to history. And that's where we are now. So I feel like this team, the one thing we know about this team is that they don't overlook guys. They don't overlook opponents. They don't get too big. The moments don't get too big. They have a lot of respect for their opponents. I think Andy has instilled that kind of identity with this organization, no matter who they're playing. And just because we've had success in a divisional round in the past does not indicate that it's automatic right now. I feel like we're just confident, and that's a good thing.
The Texans, they played each other back in week 16, and you know that wasn't week three where you completely throw it out the window. That's why I feel pretty good about this game as well. I mean, these teams played not too long ago, and I understand both teams were able to do some good things at times, but the Chiefs win that one by eight. How much stock do you put into that one? I mean, knowing that, yes, it's been a bit, but also at the same time, this was not a game that happened in September or October.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of, like you said, there's a difference between playing someone early and then playing them late or playing them in the playoffs. The identity of a team is what it is in week 16. Like, the Texans are no different. They came in really heavy on their defense, the pass rush, and the big play ability of Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Like, I feel like that's what you knew about them. C.J. Stroud was smart quarterback, wasn't going to make a whole bunch of mistakes. We forced them into mistakes in that game, and that cost them the game. But at the same time, that's who they are. And I don't think they've diverted much off of that since then. I would say maybe their defense didn't play as well against us as maybe people thought they would, especially when you talk about the weaknesses that we had at the tackle position and their strengths outside with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. And I feel like based on what they were able to display last week, like, they're going to come in guns blazing against this Chiefs team and expecting to kind of change things around from what they displayed back in December. So they're going to come in with a pass rush. They're going to try to put us on our heels, make us feel like we're going to play uphill against them, try not to allow us to set the tone and tempo early. That's exactly what you're supposed to do when you're on the road and you're a lower seed. So if you believe that D'Amico can get this team amped up and ready, I don't think it's going to take much for them to do that because they know they're playing the two-time defending Super Bowl champs, and it's the first game of the weekend. I mean, what more could you ask for?
When you look at what the Joe Tooney did against you, missing the pass rush, and we all know that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, Danan, are really good, been good all year getting to the quarterback. because Joe Tooney held up pretty good against them, do you think that that will make it more tempting for Andy to stick with Joe Tooney at left tackle? Because obviously they have still not yet admitted if they're going to do DJ Humphreys or Joe Tooney there.
Yeah, I am of the school of thought, and I have no inside information on this. I just think that you start with DJ Humphreys. It's just good to have the Joe Tooney, Mike Caliendo thing in the bullpen. Like, you have it in your back pocket, and in case of emergency, break glass, whatever analogy you want to make, I feel like that's a good thing. And if you don't feel like you want to go with Joe Tooney at the tackle position all the way to New Orleans, then I don't think that you make the decision to do it right now. DJ Humphreys has had ample opportunity to rehab from his injury, to come back and play, to rest after playing the Denver Broncos. And if you're going to utilize him, or you feel like you would utilize him at all through the postseason, you utilize him from the beginning. And you give them an opportunity. Now, how long that string is, I think that's up to Andy Reid. And if you see that he's not able to hold his own, or you feel like you are hampering the offense with chip blocks or leaving the tight end to help or anything that you're not able to expose offensively because of the concern there, then I feel like they've shown that from series to series, from quarter to quarter, maybe from the first half to the second half, they have no qualms about moving Joe Tooney out into that left tackle position. And I don't think anybody would bat an eye at that. I feel like if you give him an opportunity to play, DJ Humphreys, he's been around the game for a while. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's known this stage. If you give him an opportunity to go out there and fight and he doesn't do it, he'll be the first one to recognize, hey, like, we got to make a move. And if that move has to be made, I think we'll have total confidence in him.
We're talking to Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver here on 96.5 The Fan. What about on the defensive side? And it looks like Jalen Watson's going to be available in this game. We know how great Trent McDuffie has been this season. Nico Collins, he praised him quite a bit, the Trent McDuffie, earlier on in the week. What could Jalen Watson being there do for this Chiefs secondary and how they handle Nico?
Length. That's the big thing. I think Joshua Williams has done a solid job in being that corner opposite Trent McDuffie and providing length. At 6'3", 193 pounds, we're playing against some tall guys, and Nico Collins is a big guy. So the more length that you have out there, a guy that can run with them, and Jalen Watson is bigger than Nazee Johnson, and he's longer, and he's more confident. And he played extremely well. I thought as the season was unfolding with he and Trent McDuffie, I thought we had the second coming of Legarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, when we had Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson. I mean, that's how well he was playing. You could make an argument that on the field, those two guys were one of the top tandems in the NFL. And now he's back, and hopefully he's confident. And bringing that same confidence he had in the first half of the season. But I feel like that's what you're going to get from him. As we play through the playoffs, if we win this game and we got to play against the Bills or the Ravens, utilizing that physicality outside and that length is going to be key. So it'd be great to have Jalen Watson back.
We talk a lot of time talking about the Chiefs corners, obviously, because of how long Jalen Watson was gone and just kind of the exposure stuff that happened with Joshua Williams and Nazee Johnson. On the flip side, with the Chiefs wide receiver crew fully healthy, I don't know that anyone left in the league's got the personnel to guard everybody on the Chiefs, right? Yeah. Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, Xavier Worthy. Like, I don't know how you cover Hollywood. I don't know you cover all four at once, I guess. And they go deeper than that.
Yeah, I mean, this is as complete a wide receiving core that we've seen maybe since 2019 with the Legion of Zoom going into Miami and winning that Super Bowl in 2020, complete a room, and not just complete with weapons, but complete in knowing their roles and the roles being identified. We're not going to see DeAndre Hopkins running a go route outside the numbers one-on-one. We may see him run a fade stop, back shoulder throw, hitches, slants, short routes, possession receivers. We're not asking him to do more than his skill set at this point is. Hollywood Brown, he can be an outside the numbers receiver. He can be a crossing route guy. They can run the mesh routes and the pick routes between he and Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy lining up in the backfield, running jet sweeps, getting bubble screens, all of those different things. It doesn't feel, I should say, it feels like as complete a group as we've seen because each guy has their role. Travis Kelce is going to get hot. He's going to have more targets in the postseason than we've seen maybe in recent weeks in the regular season. Noah Gray being a great complement to Travis Kelce, where all the attention that's justifiably given to Travis, they're going to have to loosen up on that a little bit because of the other components around them. So I feel really confident about these guys. The weather can be a factor. It's supposed to be relatively cold, but like those guys are going to be champing at the bit to get on the field. And if Patrick gets in a rhythm, especially with this rest, what is it, 24-day rest?
Yeah.
You got to be careful if you are the Houston Texans with what this offense can do.
I'll say it's small, Danon, but like we were getting into like a small debate with the text line because they're like, hey, Stroud knows how to play in the cold. He played at Ohio State for 2 years. I'm like, he grew up in California. He plays in Houston now. Can like 18 months in the cold weather, 24 months in the cold weather prepare you for playoff cold weather?
No. I mean, but I would say that sometimes it's overblown playing in cold weather versus warm weather, but when you get the Arrowhead faithful going and you get that crowd rocking and now the crowd noise and the pressure of the playoffs and the pressure of a Spags defense, I think it's one thing is not going to affect him. It's going to be everything in totality that's going to affect him. And we've seen that with other quarterbacks that have come in here, some quarterbacks that have played a lot of their career in the cold. It's just when you put the assortment of weapons together, and I want to include the fans in that, because we've seen how this fan base, heck, you can go back to that first game against Houston back in week 16. The fans were a factor in that game. They rattled him. Now, he got rattled with the Tank Dell injury, but he was not as comfortable in that game as you probably have seen since or even before. So I'm going to put it all together. It's got to be a complete package. The fan base has to come out. We have to have a rocking stadium. And we have to make sure that he knows exactly where he is. He is in the home base of the two-time defending Super Bowl champs, and we want to make him feel that from the beginning.
Last one for you when it comes to this specifically. Harrison Butker, I think we asked you a couple weeks ago how you felt about him. Dave Tobe yesterday said that he believes he showed his old power this week, that basically maybe that wasn't there the last couple of weeks. Where's your confidence level with him right now?
Oh, it's still high. I don't believe there's anything just because he missed a 51-yard field goal against the Denver Broncos. That was his only attempt. I feel like his resume has spoken for itself. This rest, if you want to add him to the list that I mentioned earlier, was probably key for him coming off of that midseason surgery, the plant leg. All of those factors come into play. But I don't have – my confidence has not waned at all on Harrison Butker. I feel like he is deserved the highest amount of confidence from us as a fan base based on what he's been able to do and the games he's actually won for us. And just because we haven't seen him at his best recently does not mean that it's not going to come out Saturday.
Dan, and I know this is kind of off subject to finish up here, but when you played baseball, too, you were drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers. We got the sad news today about Bob Uecker. You were only played minor league ball for the organization. Did you get a chance to meet him?
I never got a chance to meet him, but one of my great sports movies is Major League. So Bob Uecker, the commercials, taste great, less filling. Like I can go through the comedy and what he brought to the game, the extras that he brought to the game, and obviously that was a great movie. So yeah, the baseball world and the sports world had a huge loss in Bob Uecker. He was a funny character.
Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, be listening Saturday, 3:30 kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. And correct me wrong, do you have players only tonight?
Yeah, we got players only, and we are taking down some of the security, and I am going to let Sean Barber in the studio
oh, no.
with me. Yeah, everybody's got to do charity, so that's going to be my charity this week, is to let him in on the show. So we're going to have fun, and hopefully it's not the last show, and we can keep running this through New Orleans.
That's right. Yeah, it's his birthday week, so I guess that's why you're doing it, too. There you go. That's very nice of you, Danny.
Yeah.
All right, man. There you go. That's Danny Hughes. He joins us each and every week here on Cody and Gold and on the station throughout the week. And as I said, Saturday, be listening to him, Mitch Holtis, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel. And Danny joins us courtesy of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I was trying to look up the C.J. Stroud thing. You asked him about the weather and everything. And C.J. Stroud played in 5 games outdoors, the coldest temperature 56 degrees.
I mean, Danon played in Iowa, so he is familiar with playing in the cold. I just, like, someone's making such a big deal, like, he knows how to play in the cold, guys. CJ Stroud played at Ohio State. You're like, he grew up in Rancho Cucamonga. I don't think he's just like living in the cold weather or whatever. That was a little bit like when I asked Drew, I was like, do you even know how to drive in the snow? You lived in Florida for it. I was like, whoa, I grew up in the Midwest, relax.
We did.
I was like, that's actually a good point. Drew probably just didn't forget that cold existed because he spent a couple of years living in
Florida. We've had inch-thick ice before in Indiana. So, yeah, it's something that they're used to. I do. I mean, he was at Ohio State for 3 years, but again.
He played for 2 years, though.
Correct. I mean, him being there in the cold, he knows what it's like. Probably didn't like it very much, and now he's gotten comfortable probably with being back in Houston. I mean, it's a comfort thing. Like, for instance, it was freezing. It's been freezing cold here. I hate it. I hate it in Kansas City because I was worried.
I'm going to get that as a drop.
I hate it.
Anytime the Chiefs are playing the Bengals, I'm going to play that drop. Yeah,
just only them, but that's fine. Yeah. Continue.
When it's like... Like, it's 75 degrees in Florida right now. Where are my brothers at? In Pensacola, I'm sure it's a lot warmer there. You get used to it where you feel the first cold, and you're like, yes, I do not like it here. I don't enjoy it.
Tomorrow's going to feel like 80 here, though, man. It's going to be 50. It's going to feel like 80 degrees tomorrow.
I'm going to have to break out the T-shirt and go outside.
Even today. Like, even today, man. It's, 40? I don't have 44 degrees, something like that?
I have to. I did not mean Kansas City.
Practically tropical.
Yeah.
I meant Kansas City in the cold. All right. Yeah, I want to clarify.
Someone says Florida taught you also how to mow the grass without shoes on. I still think that's
No, that was Indiana. Sorry.
That's why. You just can't do that, man. Like, there's so many things that can go wrong for you in that scenario.
One little trip, stumble, fall, and you just have no toes anymore.
Well, it's not even the fact that, like, the blade can cut your toe off. It's the fact that you accidentally go over a rock or even just a twig that's sharp and it just flicks back on your foot and slices your foot open.
I haven't had it sliced open, but there have been, if it's broken sticks before and I've gotten smacked in the shin,
we've all been there, right? We've all mowed the yard before and something comes up and gets you. But even there, at least that's your shin. It's a little, your foot can get sliced open pretty easily. Anyway,
I haven't had to mow the grass since having that conversation. The next time that I do, I'm sure that it's going to pop into my head.
Yeah, you're going to think about it this time. That's for sure. I do think the like, if I were the Texans, I'd be like, how am I supposed to? I got Derek Stingley Jr. What am I supposed to do with everybody? How am I supposed to guard everyone? You're like, you can't. That's again why I think Travis Kelce having a quiet regular season is going to convince, it's going to lull these teams into sleep thinking, you know what? Let's just do some single cover on trash a little bit.
Let's not do
all this bracket stuff we've been doing for a decade. Mm. Let's focus on some of the other dudes who can beat us.
I don't think the Texans will do that, but that's what makes this matchup great. Is like the Texans won't do that, but that's where Worthy and Hollywood Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, you know, become huge factors again. And that's why I think there's a chance D-Hop has a big game as well. Someone real quick did text at 913-586-7965 a warning for you, Drew. They just said their dad is missing a toenail from a mower, and he even had shoes on in that moment.
There were plenty of people who reached out to me on Twitter like, excuse
me,
Drew.
Don't do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who reached out and who texted in that gave stories that, yeah, I'm going to probably wear shoes the next time I'm
barefoot is just, I've never even considered it.
My ankles
are going to be all green.
Step in some dog crap, like, just all of it.
You have to look where, you have to watch where you're going.
You know, like, if it just rains, you just got that slightly mushy part of the yard. You're like, I don't want to deal with all this. That's what shoes are for. And again, I'm like, my kids take off shoes the second they get in the house. Matter of fact, when they get to other people's houses, I've had to be like, hey, you can't just be taking your shoes off at other people's houses. Like, you can't just be like on their couch barefoot.
In a way that is very
weird. Driving around, because they take their socks off, too.
You gotta leave the socks off.
You can't just terrorize every house we go to. So, like, you know, let's be careful. Were you guys a shoes off house?
When we had so growing up, we had carpet, and don't anymore. Like when I went over, like when I go over there now, I don't just automatically take my shoes off or whatever. But
you were a shoes off house
when we had carpet. We had carpet in the house. Yeah,
we were not a shoes off house. Were you, Drew?
Because we only had carpet in our house to sit. Like essentially, it was the kitchen, and then like you walk in.
Now, does that mean we never, like, does that mean, like, there weren't times where you're like, oh, whatever? Sure.
Mainly
like,
no shoes, though, because it was all carpet.
You know
us.
What? When I say, were you a shoes-off family, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
The families who walk in the door and they take their shoes off.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus the ones who walk in the door and they just go do whatever they're going to do.
Now, when I go into my apartment, first thing I do, after, I got to let the dog out first, so I don't do it right away. But once I know I've let the dog out, yeah, I take the shoes off. Like, I don't want to walk around my apartment with shoes on. I walk around with socks.
I don't know if some of these stories are fake or if
you're just, right away.
I don't know if some of these stories are fake and you're just trying to like scare me from doing
my great grandmother lost her three middle toes. I don't know if that's true or not.
I hope it's not, but yeah, you just definitely shouldn't do that. Anyway, up next, we'll get to all 32. We'll also have the random question of the day, right?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show. You guys can hit us up on the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Reminder, tomorrow we're going to be up at Rally House up north in particular, Barry Woods Crossing. We'll be hanging out there, broadcasting live 10 to 2. We've got some gift cards to give away, and it's that time of the year. Playoff time. It means it's time for you to get out to your local Rally House, 16 locations, gear up to get ready for a back-to-back-to-back in the kingdom. Rally House is rushing in new gear for the playoffs, including official Chiefs postseason gear and the latest styles to cheer on your team. Go online to rallyhouse.com as well. So, taking the show on the road tomorrow.
Looking forward to being up there. Hope to see you all there. And like you said, we'll have some gift cards to give away as well. Plus just, 4 hours of good day before division around football coverage coming your way as well. So looking forward to it. See you all up there.
Need a new beanie for the winter weather on Saturday, scarf, whatever.
One of my beanies is from there. I have two Chiefs beanies. One is from the Hallmark movie premiere and one is from Rally House.
I realize I don't wear beanies and scarves enough. I probably must have four beanies and three or four scarves between the Casey Curran ones I get for tickets or whatever. I just don't like what the only place I wear a beanie and a scarf is Chiefs games. I'm serious. I never wear a beanie or scarf otherwise. I'm not a big hat person either, so that's part of it. But
I think it just depends on the length of time in which I'm going to be outside. I wear a beanie if I'm going to shovel. Like if I'm going to shovel snow, I put one
hood.
On.
I just go hood. I probably should. That would help, but I just go hood.
Yeah, I mean, it would help. I'm going to suggest a second time in which you can wear a beanie. When you're outside using the snowboard.
Gloves, winter coat, and whatever, but yeah, for Chiefs games is definitely beanie and scarf for sure. The scarf is clutch, but I have two maybe. Yeah, we have some of the Hallmark movie ones. I forgot about that. That is true. Mm-hmm. Could rock it. All right, let's get to all 32. I'll let you get us kicked off this time.
Okay, so great rumor. Juicy NFL rumor today. As it turns out, according to reporting from Jonathan Jones and others, Bill Belichick's contract over at UNC, you know that there were some rumors about him in the NFL and would he go? They put a little stop to it a little bit. Turns out, Bill Belichick's contract with UNC is not yet signed. Mm. So technically, as it sits right now, there is no buyout legally, or at the very least, a legally gray area about whether or not there's a buyout. Because as it sits right now, it turns out Bill Belichick hasn't signed his contract with the University of North Carolina. Now, enemy of the show, Mike Lombardi, had sent out a tweet in response to that saying his focus, and he's working as the general manager for Bill Belichick at UNC, that's important to note, had said that Bill Belichick's focus is UNC and he's recruiting in this place and this place and this is the way they get, you know, la la la. I love that this is, I actually don't think that this is a sign that Bill Belichick is going to the NFL, but instead what I love is this is a rude introduction to Bill Belichick about how college football works. You don't want this kind of noise? Sign your contract. If you don't sign it, people who want you to not recruit a player you want to recruit are going to type up things. They're going to tell Jonathan Jones, you don't have your contract signed yet. They're going to try to make it seem like to every possible recruit, you're not serious about being in North Carolina. You have to mind your P's and Q's at the college level, or they will make it seem like you're leaving.
What'd you say the reason? Because again, a lot of times coaches will agree in principle to take a job. It has to be then approved by the Board of Regents or whatever. And then sometimes it's like not actually signed immediately. But this has been a month. That's what I'm trying to figure out. What's the reason there?
Yeah, it's weird. I have no idea. But I mean, I'll say this. Lombardi did not deny the fact that the contract wasn't signed yet in his quote tweet. He just said that he was committed to UNC.
Apparently it's not an uncommon thing in college football to have this. Like, it takes a little bit of time.
Well, because go back to, now there's one thing to sign it and not have the money, but like the Deion Sanders hiring at Colorado. Remember, when they hired him initially, the AD admitted, we don't have the money to pay him yet, but we'll figure it out. And obviously, they figured it out. He brought in tons of money to the university, et cetera. That's kind of different. Something to keep an eye on. For me, it has to do with coaching a little bit, too. What's going on with the Tampa Bay Bucs? You're like, what is going on with the Tampa Bay Bucs? Well, their offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, is a hot name in the coaching world.
Okay.
And it looks like there's a chance he gets a job right away. He comes over from college, became the OC, replaced Dave Canales, who's now the head coach in Carolina. Well, a lot of reporting is suggesting that Liam Cohen has a great chance to become the head coach of the Jags down in Jacksonville. So if that happens, that is like the prime example. Whenever we talk about coaching, you're like, hey, do you prefer offense or defense? And yeah, a defensive-minded guy can still leave, but it's an offensive league. What the Bucs are dealing with and Todd Bowles are dealing with is exactly why I want an offensive-minded head coach if I'm the Chicago Bears, if I'm the Las Vegas Raiders.
Because they come in 1 year, have success with Baker,
Todd
and then they're
Bowles
gone.
Dave Canales had success with Baker. He leaves and he's the head coach at Carolina. You're like, well, no big deal. They had success this year, Gold. Yeah, Liam Cohen did, and now he might become a head coach. So then Todd Bowles has to go find another offensive coordinator. It's tough on your quarterback, whether it's Baker Mayfield or even somebody that's not been in the league that long. That's what we mean when we bring up, or I bring up, I think you agree for the most part.
Yeah, I would
why that's
exceptions.
Why coaches do that. There's exceptions. CJ Stroud has a defensive-minded head coach. Bobby Slowick, though, last year was the hot name. This year they weren't as good, so everybody's backed off. But that's why I think you have to be cautious, and we'll see what happens if Cohen gets the job. But
I was thinking yesterday, because you had said, is there going to be a head coaching hire you like? Because I was being critical of the maybe possibility of Ben Johnson ending up with the Raiders, and I've made my thoughts clear on Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. On the flip side, is there going to be a deal you don't like? Do you like Liam Cohen to the Jags? So far, you're 2-for-2 in liking hype. Well, you're 1-for-1 in liking kind of coaching deal. The other one actually has.
Vrabel, I'll say
You like it in principle for Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I think
he ends up with the Raiders.
I think Chicago should hire Ben Johnson. That was my like prediction from September or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if Arthur Smith gets a job, I can promise you I'm going to say it's a bad hire. honestly, so
what
we'll
about
see.
Mike McCarthy? Would you just like that
one? I still think Mike McCarthy gets too much you-know-what.
Matt Ryan of coaches.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying he's great, but also people talk about him like he wins 8 games a year. I mean, it is a little ridiculous. And I thought, considering the mess that is Dallas, he actually handled himself pretty well down in Dallas. that's a unique spot. So no, now do I think if he goes to New Orleans, they're going to have a ton of success? No, they're in a weird spot. But for the Saints' own point of view, be a great hire. If the Saints could get Mike McCarthy, that's a really good hire.
That's a good hire.
He went from Dennis Allen to Mike McCarthy. Yeah, it's an upgrade.
I told you, I wouldn't dislike that one. I think Mike McCarthy's a good coach.
So Dusty Mack and I were talking about this when I first got into the studio as the show was starting. And, you know, one of the questions on First Take was, who has more, what's a better story? The Chiefs three-peat or Lamar getting his first ring? I think a lot of people would say the three-peat, obviously. But a lot of people, I think, would say Lamar Jackson winning a ring. So I had this thought. If Lamar Jackson wins MVP this year, that's number three for him, and he wins the Super Bowl, do you entertain him being a top five quarterback of all time?
Of all time?
Not
of all
with
time.
One Super Bowl.
Of all time.
Well, yeah, no, one, there's plenty of quarterbacks that have one.
Aaron Rodgers has three MVPs, I believe, or four MVPs, and also just the one Super Bowl.
I also don't think he's a top five. No, so top five as it sits right now, without looking, I guess, at a list, Montana, Brady, Mahomes.
Who else?
Bradshaw.
Are you putting this Lamar's better than Bradshaw?
I know. It's an era-dependent thing, so I do I agree that Lamar Jackson is a significantly
more talented quarterback?
I just mean in general, like accolades.
He was
and
the
everything.
Quarterback. He was the quarterback of like one of the single best dynasties.
Also,
so like,
we're talking about Terry, it. We're talking about an end product. We're talking about a finished product, a career, and someone that's career hasn't ended yet. So like you're asking me like, can Lamar Jackson become a top five quarterback of all time? I would bet against it, but yes, he can. And I actually think
Peyton
there's a
Manning
chance.
Would be top five for me.
Because I don't think Lamar will have the longevity. We've talked about this since he entered his career, entered the league in his career. At 38 years old, is Lamar going to be able to do what he's doing now, or will a quarterback that is more of a pocket passer be able to do it? That's the question. Like on the back end of his career, what does it look like? Whereas somebody else might be able to play an extra 5 years. I don't know if that's the case or not.
I thought it was interesting because I think it's in the. I think he enters the name into the chat in a way. There's a conversation for that fifth spot where you have Peyton, Mahomes, Montana, and Brady, and then you could have Bradshaw in there. You could have John Elway in there.
It depends on if your value. Like, look, I don't want to just dismiss rings for the same reason. Like Aikman maybe make this list or whatever when you've got like three Super Bowl wins. I think you can be better than a quarterback and be not the same number of Super Bowl rings. But Lamar's never even made a Super Bowl. So to make once, I think he doesn't immediately jump into top five. Does he have a chance to do that in his career? Sure. Even if he doesn't win another Super Bowl ring, maybe. But he has to play for so much longer, accomplish so much more. Immediately, no. He does immediately become the second best quarterback in the league, which he might already be anyway. Like, I think it's a pretty good argument that, like, yeah, and, like, look, probably for race-related reasons, Lamar's been more criticized than other quarterbacks of similar talent and ability and performance. So there's no doubt about that during his era, he's already one of the, he's either second, third, or fourth best quarterback in the league, depending on how you rank him anyway.
For those people who are blasting, the people who think Lamar winning a ring would be a better story, I believe Dusty said Lamar Jackson winning his first ring would be a better story than the Chiefs three-peating.
No.
So he came into your booth after doing four hours of radio into the booth to drop the fire take that is the better story is Lamar Jackson winning a Super Bowl than the three-peat champion.
I might have misheard him, but I believe he asked the question and it said Lamar Jackson.
If that's the case, I firmly disagree.
I don't know.
I'm going to also have to disagree.
A three-peat has never happened, and I know that obviously. For Lamar Jackson, to Cody's point, he has been at times maybe criticized unfairly, and you get into that. But I don't think that now there might be some individuals that try to make it out to be the biggest thing that's ever happened in NFL history. That might be the case. I don't think the consensus opinion would be that the Chiefs three-peating would be less of a big deal than Lamar winning a Super Bowl. It would definitely change how people talk about Lamar for the rest of his career. That's how he's going to be judged, is on winning a ring or not at some point in his career. But no. As far as quarterback rankings, everybody. What's fun about that is everybody has an opinion. Like someone says, someone says Bradshaw's nowhere near that. Somebody else said they agree. Somebody else says, what about Marino?
Marino never won one, but he's got the reputation of being one of the greatest of all time.
What I think is inarguable is Brady, Mahomes, Montana, and Manning, to me, are in the top five.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then after that, we can start, to me, debating and figure out, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he'll definitely climb higher up, and he's already a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a two- or three-time 100%. MVP. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame even if he doesn't win a Super Bowl at this point. But 100%. If he wins one, then he's a lock. like first ballot. He won't have to like go through a voting process, I guess.
Yeah, two or three time MVP in a ring. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get it done.
That is All 32 here on Cody and Golden. Don't forget, All 32, along with our divisional playoff coverage, is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's get to a random question.
Random question.
So we can talk more about Travis Kelce and what we expect out of his retirement talk that came out of Stephen A's thing yesterday. But for you, Gold, for you, Drew, on the text line, 913-586-7965, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, like, subscribe over there, comment. I try to keep up with the chats over there as well as we do the text line. So that's Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Question I have today is whether or not you are more likely to buy a product based on its association with the Chiefs. You know what I'm getting ready to ask you. Tyson Nuggets has decided to release what they are calling the Chiefs Nuggets. Fully cooked, breaded chicken patties shaped like an arrowhead. Says Chiefs Kingdom on the top. Gold, are you more likely to buy this brand of chicken nuggets due to their association with the Chiefs? Because I know you buy frozen chicken nuggets sometimes.
No, I don't.
What frozen food do you buy?
My answer was about to be like, I don't buy them anyway. But if I had children, yeah, I think you'd probably be more likely to buy that brand. All it is shaped like an arrow. There's nothing else different about these types of chicken
nuggets. It's a regular oven chicken nugget like anything else.
No, I don't buy those.
Guy.
No, not at home.
Oh, okay.
Like, the only time I ever eat nuggets would be if I was getting fast food.
I've seen you eat some chicken tenders in your life.
Yeah, chicken strips, yeah.
Oh, so you're a chicken... Well, that's the same thing, right? I mean...
Well, strips are, and tenders are different than nuggets, though.
Yeah, but I just
like,
figured...
Like, if you go... Like, Drew, he brings up Chili's a lot. If he goes to Chili's and gets, what do they call it, chicken crispers, that's not the same...
Chicken nuggets.
That's not the same as chicken nuggets.
Yeah. No, I agree,
Chick-fil-A,
but it's just like...
has
chicken
the
nuggets.
Tenders, or the strips, and the nuggets, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to buy the Costco brand.
The nuggets are different, man.
I'll say, my kids, because they're kids, don't like the tenders as much. We buy the Costco-branded, like, tenders, right, or whatever. They don't like those as much as just the regular nuggets.
Yeah.
But I'm not buying them nuggets just because they're shaped like an arrowhead.
Do you take your kids to the grocery store with you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Why? You don't think that your kids would ever point out an item and say, Dad, what is, you know, and
are you
say
kidding?
That,
they pointed out the other day that there was a, what, SpongeBob? I don't know. Some TV character.
Yeah, and did you buy it?
No.
You're telling me that Ruby and Desmond aren't sitting there?
Please, Papa.
And they're saying that over and over, and you say, fine.
Please, Papa. The one that's gotten me recently, and this is like, you know, your kid's age and all this stuff is, my son, he's six, likes Mr. Beast. And that's not uncommon for a six-year-old. But then, like, sometimes when he's getting into a conversation with me about it, I'm like, dude, he's like, you know, Mr. Beast will give you a lot of money if you win his contest. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I know, but I'm not playing it. And you shouldn't either. Mm. Please do not get yourself in one of these Squid Games, Mr. Beast games, dude. Mm. Don't do it.
It's not like he's going to die he's if like, he doesn't win, though.
Nah, I know, but, like, it just feels like, I was like, I don't want you. So, like, you know, Mr. Beast has a line of toys. He's like, can I get this Mr. Beast toy? I'm like, nah, I don't think so. Get something else. Let's get like a Ninja Turtle or something.
Man.
Wow. I'm not anti-Mr. Beast.
Yes,
but I'm trying to steer him away certain directions. So I think I would probably, and truthfully, I'm probably more likely to steer him away. I'm worried about anything co-branded with something sometimes, that there's a quality chip for the novelty. Oh, look at the arrowhead nugget. I'm like, is this as good
of a
nugget?
You think they're using chicken?
I think the chicken... tender is a better chicken frozen chicken option. I think they're trying to steer me towards arrowhead chicken nugget not so sure that it's not better just in their oval form.
What if you're in the store and right next to it there's regular chicken nugget, same cost, and there's Chiefs chicken nugget, same cost? You're telling me you're not grabbing the Chiefs one?
I think I'm the regular. I'm worried about the quality difference. Change to their process, making the shape different.
It's like
the Reese's peanut butter cup chocolate to peanut butter ratio. You're changing the breading to chicken ratio somehow by making this thing arrowhead chicken. It's not going to cook right.
Cody.
The ratio's going to be off.
You're acting like this bag of Tyson nuggets are like Raiders, you know, colors or Cincinnati colors. Then I'd be concerned. Well, that'd be a bunch of trash.
You're always talking about how Gold needs to expand his palate and try new things. Why are you? Why not try?
This is frozen nuggets. Expanding my palate. It's like an amuse bouche before a fine dinner.
Well, according to you,
I'm not saying I'd throw it in the trash if I came over to Alex's house for dinner and what he had prepared was a bag of arrowhead chicken nuggets.
Some frozen fries.
If we were in for a fan club tomorrow, I'd buy a bag and cook them and see if they taste any different.
I bet you they taste the same.
But we're at Rally House, so we can't do it.
I mean, I don't view this any differently than cereal. Like Mahomes' cereal or whatever and Kelce's. like the Mahomes ones were no, like they're made by someone else that makes cereal. They didn't really, the cereal itself probably didn't taste. It's not any different. It's just Mahomes branding, right?
All the like branded cereals, like there's a Squishmallow cereal. It's just essentially Lucky Charms, but with different shapes.
Yeah, that's what this is as well. Someone did say, so his father can gamble his life savings away, Cody, every weekend, but your kids can't have a chance to participate for $1 million. That's just sad.
First off, he doesn't have a contest for six-year-olds because he realized what that would look like. Imagine if he did the same game, but this one's only six-year-olds. Dear God.
I mean, what would the prize
you
be for six-year-olds, though?
Lord of the Flies, the new Nintendo Switch 2.
Oh, my gosh. No, that's right. It'd be like the prize they used to do for, Guts. You know, it'd be like Guts on in Nickelodeon back in the day.
You get, like, the piece of the aggro crag?
Yeah. No, but on those shows, they'd have prizes. Yeah, and be like, you get a brand new boombox. You know, it was from the 90s. Yeah.
Here's some trampoline shoes.
It's like when you did the fundraiser stuff. Like the biggest prize was like a, it was a gift card if anything. But you won like kid stuff. Like you could win a trampoline or you could win something like that.
Follow up random question.
Okay.
If you had won the piece of the aggro crag,
okay,
on Guts as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Would it still be on your shelf now?
Absolutely.
like I'm asking, like, mantle, right? I got a fireplace with a mantle.
No way.
Is the aggro crag trophy.
It's not on the mantle. It's not on the mantle, but it's in the backdrop. When I do video stuff for, I got to do on Saturdays for BetQL, and on the backdrop, sometimes I've got, like, memorabilia behind me.
Sure.
It would be behind me on the shelf. Absolutely.
I tell you what, everyone's holding on to him. You can't buy a real piece of aggro crag anymore. You know? You can't go buy somebody's formerly won aggro crag trophy. Not for sale.
Mm-mm. No, somebody in a garage sale somewhere has one, you know,
like their kid won it. They never picked it back up. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking on
Nickelodeon Guts, all time show. I know people like the Legend of the Hidden Temple too, but man,
you can buy some replicas. It's not as good, you know, with the real thing.
Someone said a Marlboro jacket. Is that what? Is that something that you won?
Those are things you just turned in for like Camel bucks back in the day, you know, depending on the company. And I think every kid in the 90s, some of my sports equipment for years was carried in like a Marlboro duffel bag.
Yes.
Dude, are you? I thought we all did that. Is that not a thing?
I did not have a cigarette backpack. No.
Duffel bag.
I mean, this might be pure NASCAR, but there is a Marlboro there is a Marlboro wrapped race car.
Sure.
There were like cigarette sponsorships all over the place.
Yeah. They decided like maybe they shouldn't encourage kids to smoke.
Probably
Joe Camel trying to sell your kid a pack. Probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
Who knew?
That is the random questions of the day.
I wanted to know whether or not it'd be on your shelf, you know?
Yeah.
That's a great, honest to God, like another thing I'd like be a great dating profile thing if you were dating people of your
age,
right?
Won Guts before?
Well, like, or in one of your profile photos, it was you climbing the aggro crag, just like halfway up as a kid.
They should bring that show back fully. Like,
dude, that'd be great.
There's no reason why they can't. What's
Have you
the,
seen
what
some
the reason
of these
why
athletes
you can't
now?
Do it?
I can't even imagine what some of these 12-year-olds... Well, that's American Ninja Warrior, right? They just do a kid's
one. But that's what I'm saying. That's for kids, I think kids would like Guts. As an adult, I don't know if I would like the show. I'm saying, like, for kids now, you tell me that the kids' version of Guts 2.0 wouldn't be successful on Nickelodeon nowadays, or no? Or we think kids are too busy with, you know, whatever, video games.
You're saying you'd have some kids that look like the kid who you played baseball against who were 14 but had a full-grown beard. And you're like, excuse me, this person's not 14.
Someone said, what about Mike? Yeah, Mike O'Malley. What's Mike O'Malley up to these days? That was the guy from Guts. Let's see.
The British lady, the British sideline reporter. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. We should know the name.
I mean, I watched a lot of that as a kid. Mo Cork.
More a quirk. Quirk. Back to you, Mike. Or O'Malley.
This is just of an era. If you didn't grow up in this era, none of these Guts references or Wild and Crazy Kids. Did you watch that one? Oh, Wild and Crazy Kids. You and I are just different apart in age.
A lot of Double Dare.
There might have been
Double Dare back in the day.
Sure. Not a choice. Somebody says that they still have a Marlboro Red duffel bag that they carry their Xbox and close them when they leave town.
Someone says the Winston Cup for your.
That's right.
The Winston Cup
days. Yeah.
I ain't trying to hide it, man. Just living it.
Mo.
What do you think she's doing? You think she's still in the business?
I think the other guy's an actor now or something.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been a bunch of different stuff since. Like, I don't know what he's in now, but he's been in.
It is interesting,
since.
I guess. Gold can relate to this maybe more.
Actress and comedian is what she is now.
I think Gold might be able to relate to this more, but like the Disney Channel people who you saw growing up, like you enjoyed the Disney Channel shows, like seeing what they're doing now, and some of them actually have gone on to have very successful, you know, times. Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah.
Moving on.
She's got voice work up to 2022. Yeah, she's still working.
Mm-hmm. Someone said Joe in the Pool was an all-time crush from the 816.
What a time. What a
Someone
time.
Someone says, you know? I'm only 40. If these shows came out in the 90s, that makes you both 45 or 50. No.
Whoa. I'm 40.
Cody's 40. Huh? I turned 34 last week. Or this week. Last week. Whatever.
Yeah. I'm technically as old as some of these shows. I was born in 1995.
They re-aired those on Nickelodeon for a while. He probably got some.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
All right, guys. Up next, let's talk about Travis Kelce. We teased that. Let's get to that. Travis Kelce was on the Stephen A. Smith show talking about retirement. What do you guys make of the next three games, potentially, if the Chiefs get to a Super Bowl? Could they be the last three for Kelce? We'll discuss it next.